Now that's how you start an episode, apparently. Do not adjust your sets. It is not 2010. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. That is our phone number. Yes, that is usually our voicemail number, but you can call in if you would like to speak with us. My name is Sam, and with me, for the first time since, I think, season four. Casey Doran. How you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
And also joining us for the first time since season one would be Russell Glasser of The Atheist Experience and
hey,
the Nonprofits
guys.
Podcast. How you doing?
Now, did they pick up my George Carlin swear at the beginning?
No, they didn't.
That's
I had we were just because, you know, that's all, you know, that on the air, happen. Radio waves and everything. We gotta watch.
I'll try
out
to do the acoustic. If anyone swears from now, I'll just go beep. I'll do it acoustically. We don't have to have an actual button.
One of these days, I will get a 7-segment delay, I think,
sure,
or something like that.
Sure.
So I am coming to you today with I'm a little bit lobster looking, I think. That's what happened. I hit the Sounders friendly against Tottenham yesterday, and I thought it was going to be cloudy because it's Seattle. That's a fair bet, isn't it? And then the stuff burned off, and I got a sunburn, and I got a sunburn quickly, and there might be a reason for that. So Shasta County,
oh yes,
has decided that they're going to do some research for us. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors recently voted unanimously to seek more information on chemtrails after Supervisor Pam Giacomini put the item on the agenda, and a number of so-called chemtrail experts addressed the panel. Dozens of other speakers blamed a host of personal and environmental ills on airplane exhaust and claimed that the government targets certain populations by secret adding heavy metals to planes.
Woo!
At military bases.
Sorry.
No. By all means. The board will produce a video on Tuesday's 4-hour-long public comment session, which will be forwarded to state and federal agencies in hopes of garnering a response. They also voted to research the feasibility of testing for nano levels of heavy metals in the Lassen Volcanic National Park.
Nano levels?
Nano levels.
Don't you have nano levels in your bloodstream?
Now, I don't know Ask an Atheist as well as my own show, so I can only assume you're reading this to let people know this important thing that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Which is absolutely true and accurate information.
All I know is that I'm enjoying a Diet Shasta Cola right now, and I hope there's more than nano levels of heavy metals in what I'm drinking. Shasta County, California.
Nano levels, I got to admit, that's kind of new to me.
It's almost like homeopathic.
Yeah, I was going to
like,
say
it's
that.
Nano is like, are you even sure that in the cubic mile of airspace that you would even pick up like one atom of polonium?
Well, you don't know. I mean, they didn't get specific. It could be like a nano light year or something.
Well,
a nano parsec.
You bring up an interesting possibility here that you know, they're calling that these chemtrails are, they're chemicals being added by the government, and we're saying no, it's just water vapor. This is something that happens when planes go through certain atmospheric conditions atmospheric conditions at high altitude.
So you buy the official government story.
I do. Until you start thinking that maybe it's homeopathic chemtrails. Anything that we're saying is going to be, it doesn't matter because it's homeopathic chemtrails. That's why they're looking for these nano.
It's true. So, one part per trillion
like
is enough.
Super powerful chemtrails.
Yeah.
Is what
you're saying. I wonder if this is one of those moments where I wonder if there's somebody that believes that. There's got to be somebody. Homeopathic chemtrails.
I don't know. I don't think either of you have not been to Redding, California, I take it, right? Neither of you have been there?
I know of.
I had to put on tire chains there once.
Oh. Yeah, to go up the hill from north.
Right.
There's nothing that happens there. It's hot and desert, and so I think people are just staring at the sky. I think that's what this is. They just have nothing better to do than gaze up at the sky and wonder what kind of terror might befall them.
Yeah. I like that there's a government that's saying, well, we have to ask the government if they're doing anything to the water or the air.
I want to see their 4-hour public comment session. I actually want to see what how many people are watching that 4-hour long public comment section.
Yeah, I wonder if we could get a copy of that. that. Do you think you're going to post it publicly somewhere?
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Somebody, one of the listeners, do that for us. Record
viewing
it.
Party! Yeah, exactly. So a little bit closer to home, the trends in health continue. Hudson Auto Center in Poulsbo, Washington has begun guaranteeing they only sell 100% gluten-free, organic, non-GMO vehicles. Here's where it gets a little satirical. Manager Larry Dahl said many of our customers who buy from us didn't even know they were gluten intolerant until we told them they were. Dahl says their new business model includes a simple test is given to each customer to determine potential allergens, vitamin deficiencies, and autoimmunity. Ba-dum-bum. Afterwards, each customer is paired with an equally naive sale representative with mild hypochondria. Like I said, it gets a little satirical. When we looked at this, this is from the Kitsap report, which is sort of a satirical, funny news site for Kitsap County. But then when we called the Hudson Auto Center in Poulsbo, Washington, they confirmed that they were running the gluten-free organic sign as a joke, as an attention getter. To which I have to admit, I approve of. I like that kind of humor.
And now you're a pawn in their marketing scheme.
I am absolutely a pawn in their marketing scheme. You know what?
You wouldn't believe the kickback we're getting from Poulsbo Auto Center.
Once again, the name of that car dealership is.
You would not believe the lengths to which I will sell myself in order for a punchline to a joke. I mean,
I hope they're paying you well for this one. You just found this on the internet and read it?
Not as well as Monsanto, I have to admit. Things happen.
You know, maybe potentially there are, if you have a particularly woo automaker, instead of using plastic made out of fossil fuels, they're made out of corn.
Right.
You want to make sure the corn that you're using is not the, you know, G-modded kind.
Right.
you want the real free-range corn to make your plastic.
Free-range corn.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, isn't most corn on a range? On some sort of field?
That's all I got, really. Okay. It almost sells itself.
I think the day is coming to when somebody is going to think that putting, you know, organic or gluten-free on their cars might be a selling point. I mean, we've already seen 100% organic salt, which is not something I'd want to... I mean, that suggests that they have some sort of torture chamber to extract salt from organisms, like some really bad episode of the original series of Star Trek. I mean, it's... that's more your territory.
Put him in the agony booth.
Well, we have these oxen that sweat.
Tasty. Yeah, the organic thing we haven't talked about in a while. But
you mean things that are made out of carbon?
Things that are made out of carbon.
Because there are a lot of those.
I hadn't gotten so much heat for an episode of the show as much as we did doing the GMO one.
Hmm.
Which was surprising. And, we would get into an argument with people on the air or on Facebook saying, well, why are you guys talking about liberals who talk about this stuff? It's not just liberals. It's also conservatives. Like, well, I live in the Pacific Northwest. It's sort of the hippie thing is to be anti-GMO right now. It's kind of the hip thing. Kind of wonder where that's going to go away. But
it is disappointing that of all the things that the naive liberals and I myself, I am a naive liberal on some occasions, can be upset about the blessings of science that allow us to, I don't know, sustain more than 5 billion people on this planet.
Right.
Are actively being rejected in the first world where we throw away 30% of our food. Like, just the irony behind that.
Hmm. So we do actually have an email on this topic. Michael from Dallas writes, I only recently began listening to your show. As a mostly closeted, though honest when asked, atheist in the Bible Belt, atheist podcasts are a real lifeline for me. When I became aware of your show, I began listening pretty far back in your archive. I enjoyed it and began plowing through the archive. And when I got to the GMO episode, when the GMO fervor began, I read the memes and agreed with them. GMOs were scary. However, I didn't find it an intellectually honest opinion until I did some research. It took about 3 hours of research before I realized the whole debate was based on baloney. GMOs will most likely be the thing that saves the planet when climate change and population growth make it impossible to feed everyone. Unless the anti-GMO crowd gets their way and gets this potentially life-saving process banned. One of the things that truly horrifies me about this debate is that my liberal atheist brethren that accept the science behind nearly every major problem facing our generation, religion, evolution, climate change, so dogmatically reject the science behind GMOs and vaccines. Absolutely insane. So, more of a comment than a question, but what do you guys think about this one? Do you talk on your shows? Do you talk about GMOs a bit, or is that...
GMOs has never been something I particularly cared about.
Okay.
I'm with you, though.
All right.
To the extent that I think about it at all, I get irritated at people who jump to conclusions that they don't really understand because it sounds scary.
Yeah.
And that's about as far as I go with it. Although I would also like to say to Michael that in addition to listening to this Atheist podcast...
Go right ahead.
He should also listen to the Atheist Experience on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. Central.
Well, you guys have been...
And he's in Dallas, so he could, like, totally get there in
that's
3 hours.
That's true. Yeah, that's... I mean, Texas is kind of enormous, so I don't know what things in Texas are local to other things in Texas.
3 hours.
3 hours. Okay, you could totally do 3 hours.
Derail that with a plug.
No,
that's okay.
I think we already understand what our line is. I guess the biggest takeaway from this is, I was reading a bumper sticker on the way here. It's great. You've just been to Seattle for a couple of days now. You probably have some great bumper stickers here that you probably see them in Austin.
Yeah.
One of them is, "Don't believe everything you think."
Right.
And I think that's like one of Dennett's deepities sort of thing, where it's like, it really doesn't actually mean anything. And you're likely to see that one next to a banned Monsanto bumper sticker. I was like, the person who's driving this car should basically follow the bumper sticker that they put on the back of their car.
I think there should be. Right? I think there is a little bit of a there is like, just because it's your idea doesn't necessarily mean it's a good one.
Right. Well, I've heard similar criticism where people will yell at me, "You think everything you think is right." I'm like, okay, yes.
Sure.
Otherwise, I wouldn't think them.
not everything I think is right, because, sometimes I have thoughts like, I'm going to have ice cream for every meal for the next week. That's a bad idea. But, the ideas that I vet and the ideas that I think about and actually test, I think those ideas are right.
Yes.
And the people with those bumper stickers, with the "not everything you think is whatever," next to the Monsanto one, have they really done the same homework, I guess, would be a good question.
I think it's just the victory of sloganeering over thought. I mean, I think anyone on all, I'm also tickled when I see a "Who is John Galt?" bumper sticker floating around in my neighborhood. And I think that, at this point, it's just this discursive repetition, right, where it's not... There's nothing critical going on. It's just you've put a flag down on one particular thing, and there may be some critical thought around it, but by and large, it's just like, I'm in this camp, and you're in the other camp, especially when it's something as dumb as your bumper of your car.
The answer is, he is a character who has yet to show up in a trilogy of movies which has lost an astounding amount of money.
I was picking somebody up from the airport yesterday, actually picking Dave up from the airport yesterday. No joke, straight up, behind a car with a John Birch Society bumper sticker.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I thought you guys were an endangered species. And I didn't know you realized you guys existed.
We're conservationists here in Western Washington.
and that's one of those things where people might wonder, I thought you guys didn't talk about politics on that one. Well, John Birch Society is an explicitly Christian organization and viewed anybody as an atheist as a front for communist organizations. Mm. So I think that's worth talking about. And this is, again, goes to that conversation we've been having lately.
In our neck of the woods, we have Alex Jones.
Yes.
Who I found a quote from him.
Thanks for that, by the way, Russell.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's our main export, is conspiracy theories. Alex Jones, I once thought he was probably an atheist until I read recently that he had said that, when you look behind all the atheist organizations and people who write books and stuff, they're not really atheists. They worship Lucifer.
That is
an honest-to-God near quote of Alex Jones.
I remember that one. But you guys have a history with Alex Jones that goes a lot lot farther back than people realize.
I don't say a real history. Alex Jones got his start on public access TV just like we did, so I have actually bumped into him in the halls one time.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I mean, the sum of our exchange was, you know, hi, Alex. Hey, how are you doing?
Is that really how he talks all the time?
Oh, yeah, that's his voice. And he's pretty big, too.
he kind of has that look. I just...
Yep.
I forget that people take him seriously.
That wasn't all the interaction we have, because we also believe that he has called the show at least twice under fake names.
Really?
It's hard to miss that voice and the topic that he picks to talk about. And I think... on one of those occasions, I was actually on the show when I finally said, okay, Alex, you have your own show. You can talk about this on your own time. And then I hung up on him.
Yeah, that guy has basically a national audience every time he sneezes. And to make some points, he has to go on your show? That's a bit weird.
Well, I mean, this was years ago.
Oh, back when he was just somebody who was an extra on occasional movies.
Was he?
he was in, like, brief scenes in Through a Scanner Darkly, and I remember that director likes to put him in weird
Linklater,
places in movies.
You mean?
Yeah, Linklater.
Hmm.
There was one scene where there's some guy screaming about something horrible happening that in the context of the movie it happens to be true. That's apparently
but
Alex Jones.
The reason I thought he was an atheist was because the times I thought it was him calling it, he seemed kind of sympathetic to our point of view. He was just, I'm pretty sure, trying to spin some conspiracy theory that would appeal to us, and wandering off topic more and more until we got uncomfortable with him and hung up.
But he does strike me as the kind of guy who would try and come up, like, try and tailor fit a conspiracy theory to whatever group of people he's talking to.
Yeah, so maybe he doesn't even believe the Lucifer thing. Maybe he was just, that was what he thought his audience at the moment would like.
Because he needs more minions for InfoWars.
Yeah. You know, if you walk around Austin, you can find InfoWars magazines in the places where you'd find free rags. I mean, you know, free junk publications.
Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to handle some more news.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
It's less than 1 month until the Atheist Alliance of America 2014 National Convention comes to Seattle August 7th through 10th. Get ready for an awesome lineup, including Rebecca Goldstein, Steven Pinker, Richard Carrier, and Horace Gilgamesh. See and meet locals Rebecca Bitzman, Bob Seidensticker, and Sam Mulvey. Register for this family-friendly event, co-sponsored by Seattle Atheists, by visiting atheistallianceamerica.org. Discounted student rates available. That's atheistallianceamerica.org.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And
I love that little remix to the theme song.
it's like the Oktoberfest asking.
Yes. When, you know, for a while, all we had was that original theme song. And I was like, you know, we need some changes and stuff like that. And so Mike and I were talking. And it's like, yeah, we need new theme songs. And he's like, yeah, I want a theremin in mine, maybe in a reggae song. I'm like, you know what? There's not enough polka. So what do we get? A reggae song with a theremin in it and a polka mix. And
that's
it's
great.
Fantastic.
That's
and great. We recently just got, I you may have heard it a few times, but our new 8-bit version. So when I like that one. So, we have been talking a lot about religious discrimination and the Supreme Court and religious exemptions to laws that are supposed to be, you know, treating everybody equally. And in the last few weeks, it's been more against the idea of religious and freedom from and freedom of religion than anything else. But recently, President Obama, he's expected to sign an executive order on Monday banning government contracts for companies that discriminate against LGBT workers. The president has been facing pressure to include an exemption for religious groups in the aftermath of the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court ruling. The order is also expected to protect federal employees from being discriminated against based on their gender identification. So in, you know, laws, everybody's been saying religious, you know, religious objections, religious exemptions. And here we have one where, and it's coming from the, it's coming from the White House, which is already on the record as far as marriage equality, saying that, no, we're not going to do this.
Doesn't the executive order have the issue of it being that the person who comes into the White House next can basically overrule it? I mean, it's not law insofar as law actually is. It's the order by which that can be overturned at any point in time where there's another executive.
Yeah, it's an executive order. So I suppose, you know, you can write a bunch of executive orders, orders that overwrite old ones. Yeah, to be honest with you, the executive order concept has always been a little weird to me.
Well, it's like that in the signing, the presidential signing statements. It's like,
well, yeah,
there is a difficulty in the way that I'm sorry, I don't mean to go all like episode two on you here. We're talking about trade policy and parliamentary procedure to make it boring. It's just if something's not inscribed into law, then it's just as easy for let's just say we have Rick Perry next time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Yes. That would be our second elected Texas governor, huh?
Whatever happened to Ann Richardson? I'm sorry for totally doing inside baseball here on conservative politicians, but...
Bush beat her by a whisper campaign that implied she was a lesbian.
Oh.
I wasn't actually in Texas when Bush came into office. I think he was just about to become president when I moved. I don't take any of that blame.
Well, you know, we can call it episode two, and we can, you know, we're talking about trade negotiations and the functionings of government, and right. say that it's inside baseball and potentially boring. But I think that's a hard argument to make in light of like recent Supreme Court decisions.
Sure.
And we've got a guy on the Supreme Court who cosplays as Thomas More.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. that. I think it's time to pay attention to right. stuff like this. And that, like I said, I've been talking a lot. We've usually had a very strict, you know, editorial rule set about talking about politics on Ask an Atheist. And, you know, what we've normally said is that, you know, politics have to, when we talk about it, it has to do with something with atheism, skepticism, and the separation of church and state. But in the modern political climate, it seems like religion is creeping into everything. The stronger politics and religion become identified together, the more often you see politics creeping into religion and the other way around.
Well, I mean, let me give an example of the recent Hobby Lobby case that we talked about not that long ago on the nonprofits, I think.
Yeah.
And since I've been to Seattle, I've seen one coming soon Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
I think in Austin alone we have three.
Right.
And Austin is just the liberal part of Texas, so, you know, everywhere else, I'm sure they're all over the place.
I kind of wonder at that. I had a friend of mine who moved down to Austin briefly, and he said, yeah, Austin's the liberal part of Texas, but it's still in Texas.
No, it totally is. I mean, you know, half the people may be native Texans, but then the other half are all techies transplanted from California or wherever.
Right.
Seriously. But... Let me see. The ruling was basically that this guy, that Hobby Lobby could claim a religious exemption for birth control on the grounds that the birth control actually causes abortion.
Right.
Now, that's not true. That is one of the interesting parts of this law, and one of the justices, I don't have the case right here in front of me, but one of the justices specifically said it doesn't matter if they're basing it on a true belief as long as it's a sincerely held religious belief.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
You would like legislation to be based on factual information of some sort, because then otherwise anyone could start a religion that says it is our deeply held religious belief that we don't serve black people. Or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And you don't have to go making a religion that might have that at one of those tenets.
Oh,
there
sure.
are organizations like World Church of the Creator.
Yeah.
Made in my backyard.
If this was a factually verifiable claim, it would be like that black people are really not human beings or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Or right. they're perhaps cursed, you know, like yeah, the Mormons yeah, believe until 1976. Yeah.
Right.
I could go on.
I was going to say, you had organizations that were backing Ron Paul that were saying, what was that whole kerfuffle that was about? He was saying, oh, I don't think that the Civil Rights Act should apply for a small business.
That was Rand Paul.
Oh, it was Rand Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry that I confused the two. It is almost like they are one and the same.
But that's this is where I like to go to my joke. You know, every time something like this happens, every time somebody puts up a monument on some sort of courthouse with a cross or the Ten Commandments on it, my go-to statement is, hey, let's talk to the Satanists. You know, we don't have to invent crazy right. religions. As much as I may enjoy, you know, the Flying Spaghetti Monster stuff when it comes up, we don't have to invent crazy religions that the Christian majority isn't going to like. They exist. We have the Church of Satan. We have, mm-hmm. you know, we have World Church of the Creator. And I don't know that I would want to work with those guys, because
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. We do think that the Church of Satan is just as silly and annoying and buying into the same mythology, if not explicitly, then at least by implication.
Right.
Satanists do say, no, we just use Satanism as... like a stepping off point for free thinking or something.
Right, and right.
I say, then why did you bother using Satan in the first place?
Well, because they like being scary. It's, yeah. It's,
I think it's childish.
Yeah, I've referred to it as dinner theater atheism. You know, I mean, it's atheism.
With more, daggers and robes.
But it comes with a creepy how to host a murder floor show, which is why
I'm
think they can
I'm not actually sure they even do that.
See, that's disappointing. I wouldn't go to a Satanist meeting if I didn't think there was going to be an awesome, creepy ritual that looked like it belonged in an Ed Wood movie.
Yeah, well, not the Levian Satanists. Right.
No.
They just are some kind of people who think they're free thinkers.
Right. And, I don't know if they're free thinkers or not, but they're definitely not the kind of... They're definitely not skeptics, because they do believe in some mystical weirdo crap. Something. Might not have anything to do with God, but that's the thing about atheism. Atheism is a very, especially when you take our limited description of what atheism is, just no gods. Then yeah, that leaves the door open for all kinds of creepy and kooky atheists. And actually, you get a bit more calls than we do. How often do you run into the atheist who, is like, yeah, I'm an atheist, but I believe that metals come from aliens who have made us think.
We got a list of things we can talk about to piss people off, and I will now proceed to foist them on you.
Okay, that's fine.
let me see. 9/11 truthers,
yeah.
Ayn Rand lovers, and other objectivists and libertarians, homeschoolers.
Right.
And anti-vax people.
Yeah, we did anti-vax.
Yes.
9/11 truthers has always been kind of difficult, because we would try to actually... This was back when we were trying to do debates. And so we would try to have an atheist who is a 9/11 truther, of which there is a significant population in this part of the world. Like, yeah, come on the show, bring your, bring your best evidence. We'll bring our
diagrams.
Best evidence. Bring your diagrams. we'll get all Ross Perot. And let's... And let's have this conversation. And they always seem to back out at the last minute. And at that point, we just finally said, look, I think this is proof enough.
Yeah, but when 9/11 truthers or other conspiracy theorists do get into it with you, they have infinite stamina. They can go on and on and on. I had an enlightening conversation once with Guy P. Harrison on the nonprofits. Do you know who that is? He's written several books. He's written 50 Reasons People Give for Believing in a God, and more recently, 50 Popular Beliefs That People Think Are True, which branches out from the religious stuff and explores things like superstitions and ghosts and, he might even touch on GMOs. And he told me, because he has a chapter on conspiracy theories also, and I was really interested in that. And he said, there's a big difference from what I've found interviewing people with these various beliefs between someone who believes in conspiracies and, say, someone who believes in ghosts.
Right.
He says, the problem with people like ghosts is that they're kind of passive and they just don't think very hard about things and just wind up accepting things that sound mildly plausible. So ghost people think very little.
Right.
Conspiracy theorists actually have the opposite problem, which is that they think way too hard about these connections that they're drawing in their minds between disparate bits of information. And so one of the reasons I personally find it so exhausting to talk to conspiracy theorists is because they just care about their subject in a way that I never will.
Right.
There will always be another little bit of, yeah, but what about this piece of information? Like one of the examples they'll throw up is, there was this police chief who was looking at the building and he said, pull it. And then the building came down a few minutes later. And that's proof that he was ordering the demolition right there.
I can see why.
I'm sorry. But
no, go right ahead.
When you take every trivial bit of information and attach this massive amount of importance to it and interpretation, it's just tiring to try to explain how, yeah, this is just a guy saying, pull the operation and give up on being in the building right now, or something like that.
I always kind of wonder if people who identify very closely as conspiracy theorists are so hesitant to drop them. Because in some of these conversations that we've had with 9/11 truthers, even, you know, they won't talk to us on the air. They don't want to get into a debate with us on the air, even though we said, you know, like, oh, you're just going to, you know, modify things. I'm like, no, here are the rules. If you don't like them, let me know what you would like, mm-hmm. and I will change them. Mm-hmm. And nothing short of them being allowed to talk without rebuttal seems to be acceptable.
Sure.
What was the name of the guy who was on scan, who was the big Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain guy? What? Was it Richard Lee?
Kurt Cobain was murdered.
So, yeah. Russell, you may not know this, but the the guy who made our old cable station famous was a guy who was this guy who could never accept the official story, and it eventually devolved
about Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain, because I think his assumption was that Courtney Love killed him,
yeah.
or drove him to kill himself, either one. But he eventually became a guy who he would bring a small camcorder with him to, I don't know, a city council meeting, and would proceed to yell at people, and then when they rightfully reacted as you would in that situation, get the guy who's yelling and interrupting us out of here, he would say, you know, basically, help, I'm being repressed, this sort of thing. Like, to me, that kind of gnashing and wailing is the spectacle is what it's all about. There's no we're facing the issue head on and we're actually going to really analyze multifaceted our arguments. It's just the sense of persecution is what draws you to the lifestyle of being a conspiracy theorist.
Well, that was sort of my point, is that there seems to be, like, when you make yourself a conspiracy theorist, you have a personal identity
right.
linked with this with this conspiracy theory, and it basically it maybe isn't a religion, because it's not dealing with spiritual crap usually, unless it's like aliens blew it up or something, but it seems to be as closely held and as self-identifying as anything else.
Sure.
And that's where
I think there are ways that conspiracy theory is addictive, in the sense that it gives you an opportunity to feel like you are a person in the know.
Right.
You are a mm-hmm. special person that has the inside information, and almost everyone around you is too stupid to see the truth. And never mind that you got the conspiracy theory information off of publicly available YouTube videos, which were not repressed somehow. You know, you've got there's a lot of Matrix terminology. I took the red pill, right?
Yeah.
The red pill is the one.
Yeah. Anytime somebody mentions pills in various colors,
yes.
or says the word sheeple, I relativistically leave the conversation.
You know the XKCD cartoons about that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Mike uses there are trigger phrases for Mike that as soon as they say them,
speaking truth to power, I believe, is one of them.
Well, one of his is, I heard it on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I heard
right?
of this.
It's like, oh, once you mention that, you can just divest from the conversation entirely.
Does Coast to Coast still exist?
Yeah,
different guy hosts.
I mean,
I hate
to say this on a radio show, but I never listen to actual radio anymore. Only podcasts.
We are familiar with that little aspect of terrestrial radio. So you said that people use conspiracy theories to sort of get a sense of superiority over other people.
Yeah, it's like maybe they can't fix the conspiracy theory, but
yeah.
they can at least have the privileged position of being in the elite who know about it.
That's, I would say that's a psychological construct to which our corner of the world sometimes falls prey to.
You mean atheists?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I heard my friend Matt Dillahunty give a lecture once where he was saying that atheists can be incredibly smug about how smart they are. And
right.
he said something like, just because you've solved literally the easiest question in the world doesn't make you a genius.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just people would talk, and they go, "Oh, atheists, we're the smartest people in the world." Like, I know
some dumb atheists. Yeah, trust me.
I can't. My biggest fear is that, you know, I'm among them. This is Ask an Atheist 206.
I think if you've taken the time to wonder, then you're probably okay.
This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. We're going to come into a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a moment of science.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
It's less than 1 month until the Atheist Alliance of America 2014 National Convention comes to Seattle August 7th through 10th. Get ready for an awesome lineup, including Rebecca Goldstein, Steven Pinker, Richard Carrier, and Horace Gilgamesh. See and meet locals Rebecca Bitzman, Bob Seidensticker, and Sam Mulvey. Register for this family-friendly event, co-sponsored by Seattle Atheists, by visiting atheistallianceamerica.org. Discounted student rates available. That's atheistallianceamerica.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at radioversusthemartians.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And we've got one person to thank this week. We have to thank our regular contributor, Ronnie from Denmark, for contributing to Peggy's challenge. And that challenge being a challenge to you, the listener, to help keep Ask an Atheist on the air. And if you would like to contribute to Peggy's challenge, you can go to askanatheist.tv and look for the shiny yellow button on the right side of the page. And you will find a link that will take you directly to our PayPal page. And now, with luck, part two of Dan's Moment of Science dealing with radiation.
Today's Moment of Science is the second in a two-part series about radiation. If you missed the first part, why not download last week's podcast and catch up? Part one was about the different kinds of ionizing radiation, which can certainly have potential impacts on our health in large enough doses. This week, we'll be learning about non-ionizing radiation. The non-ionizing radiation that most of us are already familiar with is called visible light. Like ultraviolet, X-rays, and gamma rays, visible light is made up of photons traveling at the speed of light. However, photons of visible light are much less energetic, and as a result, less damaging to our cells than any of those we covered last week. Infrared radiation has a longer wavelength and is less energetic than visible light. While infrared light is invisible to humans, we do have a way of detecting it if there is enough present. Think about a time that you've been outside and felt the sun beating down on your skin, or when an oven was opened across the room and you could feel the heat on your face. Maybe you've been sitting around the campfire one night and felt your shins getting warm. Well, what you really felt was infrared radiation. My favorite thing about infrared radiation has to do with squirrels. Why? Because it's amazing, that's why. California ground squirrels are preyed upon by two different types of snake. Rattlesnakes, which have special sensory pits on their faces to detect infrared light, and gopher snakes, which cannot detect infrared light. In order to deter their serpentine predators, the squirrels chitter, hop around, and rapidly flick their tails to demonstrate their health and fitness. This is a useful warning, since a healthy adult squirrel can badly injure a snake by biting it. When the squirrels face off against a rattlesnake, they increase circulation to their tail, making it warmer and as a result brighter and flashier to the infrared-sensing rattler. However, when facing the infrared blind gopher snake, they refrain from doing so, presumably because it would be energy wasted. How the squirrels know which snake is which is unknown, and a big part of the fun of science. Next is microwave radiation. Microwaves have longer wavelengths than infrared and are even less energetic. There's plenty of nonsense on the internet about microwave ovens or cell phones, which also use microwaves, causing cancer, but this is a misconception. Microwave radiation is not energetic enough to cause ionization in our cells or change our DNA. In fact, unless you're standing directly inside the microwave oven, you have very little to worry about. Microwaving is sometimes referred to as nuking your food, but really microwave radiation is not nuclear radiation at all. Like light, it's just photons. In a microwave oven, these photons have a frequency of approximately 2.45 gigahertz. This is just right for exciting water, sugar, and fat molecules, but not much else. Photons of this frequency can easily pass through glass and ceramics, but are reflected by metal, which is why your microwave oven has a metal interior. Because the ovens are square, they're subject to interference as microwaves inside are reflected and pass across each other, creating localized higher intensities. This explains why your hot pocket can be frozen in some places and boiling hot in others. Even still, while they may restrict your culinary creativity, they're a much more energy-efficient way to heat things than a conventional oven or stovetop. So if all you need to do is boil water or reheat leftovers, the microwave is a greener and cheaper choice. Beyond microwaves, we get radio. If you're hearing this, then it's working. Radio waves have a very low frequency and a very long wavelength. This allows them to pass through substances that more energetic waves can't, like trees, atmosphere, houses, and even deep water at the very low frequency end of their spectrum. This makes them useful for transmitting messages long distances, as well as peering into space. When radio waves strike a conductor, they induce alternating current, which can then be interpreted into sound or electronic information, just as your radio or computer is doing now. So, your radio, cell phone, or microwave aren't likely to cause you any ionizing harm or cancer after all. So why not celebrate by cooking up some popcorn and having a video chat with your friends? I'm Dan Lombardo, and I hope you enjoyed this moment of science.
Indeed. That was, I think it was our first two-parter, I think. I don't think we've done...
I love Dan's segments. I think it's great.
Yeah, he's in Rhode Island right now, and so I sent him off with a... with one of them blue snowball microphones, and I think it's working out really well so far.
Both Dan and his lovely wife Bridget, the Lombardi, I like to call them. they're wonderful assets that you have, Sam.
I think so.
They're wonderful static immaterial objects for you to use only for your purposes. Assets.
Yeah. Okay.
They're like bars of uranium.
A little creepy. Prepare to be converted. This is Bruce from Canada, who writes, "Hi, sir/ma'am. I used to be much like you so many years ago. When my own natural mother had passed away from a long bout of Parkinson's, I grew bitter towards God and said a lot of mean things to my retired pastor father."
So what you're saying is you were never anything like us.
Yeah. "I felt so lonesome again. The void got bigger and bigger inside of me until I went online and listened to Reverend Billy Graham.
Hmm.
The more I listened, by faith, I turned over my life within unto Jesus Christ, and I was crying like a baby inside my apartment." I wanted to see my long dead mother, who alive waiting for me up in heaven. I did it for myself. Sir, and I know you can do it. All you have to do is say the simple prayer to Jesus, and he will show himself within you with help of the Holy Spirit that he gave to each born-again Christian and non-Christian. Do the right thing and listen to Billy Graham, and he will lead you to paradise.
Does he include the prayer in the...
Not in these notes. I will inquire further, but... Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
See, the thing is, I've said it.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not some magical voodoo incantation.
Yeah.
You know, and I forget what it is, but it's not just Billy Graham. It's at the back of every single Jack Chick track, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get on your knees.
I have thousands of them downstairs.
Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. And when I say it, as I have multiple times, and nothing happens, and I'm still an atheist, that ought to be a counterexample. That ought to be, if it was a proper test, a demonstration, or at least a data point showing that there isn't a God actually doing anything with that prayer.
Yeah.
But somehow they're never willing to go there with me.
I actually like this. You pray a prayer and you just say the magical words and somehow you're fine.
Your heart is changed.
Yeah, that's a magical incantation. That is more creepy than anything I've ever heard a Thelemite say. That's certainly more creepy than Harry Potter. But if you say that's magic and what you're doing is a magical spell, that is possibly the worst thing you could say to somebody I've discovered.
Hang with that. Sure.
But what is the effective difference here? Okay, all right.
You're asking the wrong people.
Right. I just sort of want... This is... I've never been a believer. I don't know about you guys. I don't think you were either. Right?
I am a fourth-generation atheist.
Yeah.
And I'm raising a fifth-generation atheist.
Oh, look at you, fourth generation.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. I have a slightly lower integer.
That's my claim to fame.
I was in an Assembly of God church, and my parents were churchgoers. But the time at which I learned that it was malarkey, I can't even... I was so young that I can't even put a year on it, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, just sort of thinking about the sort of boilerplate prayer that Russell was... You were ad-libbing there. You're talking about, oh, I know that I'm a sinner, that sort of thing. Like, the problem with the... There's a meta problem with me approaching this, because, like, for example, I am a sinner. Well... To acknowledge that is also to buy into a theology of the universe for which I think is logically contradictory. Like,
right.
I don't believe in sin.
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think you can. There's a karmic violation that you owe a debt to. I think you just, if you do bad things to other people, then that hurts other people. Like, I believe in cause and effect.
Yeah, and like the thing is, if you're getting to the point where you're actually dropping to your knees and being maybe more serious than I am about saying that prayer, at that point, let's be honest, you already believe.
You
have some kind of reason for getting down and saying that prayer. So that prayer is not what changed your mind. It was just then the sort of event that solidifies stuff that you already think.
But the thing is, you were ad-libbing that prayer because he didn't provide one. But you did a fairly accurate job of
That's
ad-libbing that
is.
Prayer.
I've read a lot of chicks.
We live in America. We've all heard this.
Right.
This is not a surprise to any of us. And what really gets me about these emails and these voicemails and these people on the street and, frankly, these people who won't call the show is...
What are you, cowards? Come on, call!
Yeah,
They call me.
They call you. They call him.
They call you at 3 a.m.
And frankly, I'm okay with that. But,
The calls are coming from inside the house.
That is entirely possible. They all say, act like we've never heard this before. Like, they have, they have this shit, this awesome secret that they want to share with us. And we live in America. This isn't a Christian nation, but it certainly has a Christian social substrate. We've all heard this. You cannot be more than 15 in this country and have not been asked to pray this prayer.
Yeah.
Christianity has total market saturation.
Right.
Yeah.
if I'm to put a little, $9.99 word on it, phrase on it, I'd say it was like a concept in philosophy of radical incommensurability, right? Like, it's
okay, you're gonna have to unpack that.
Yeah, I don't understand
someone
that.
Who is saying I'm a true believer and you need to know that if you say this you'll believe it, and then someone on my side who says I can understand what their tradition they're coming from and what the words mean. The two contexts from which we speak are so unequal, incongruent, that one will go past the other. Like,
right.
Just what I was using the concept of sin. Like, I can't even start from that premise because it's something that I just don't believe in, that I just is not demonstrated in my worldview. And I can't then go back to them and say, you know, the concept of sin is bull, right? Because they'll say, oh no, but I mean, everyone sins, right? We're born, like, you understand there's no...
into the room thinking you're already halfway converted because all of these concepts they think you already believe in.
Correct.
Sin, good and evil, a supernatural world.
Well, they don't have any frame of reference for not believing that stuff.
Right.
Yes.
They don't get that you could reject the whole parcel altogether.
Yeah, and but I think that's interesting because it's a place to start the conversation. Is you could say, okay, you're assuming all these things, they don't make any sense. And is that what you're getting at with that word?
Well, radical incommensurability, right? Like, it's not, there's not commensurate understanding between people who are there, and the fact that it's so, the distance is so vast that we're talking past each other, right?
Yeah.
Not talking to each other. But I mean, I don't doubt this guy's sincerity, right?
No.
I mean, there's no, I have to at least grant him that, he probably legitimately thinks that it's true. I think that he might be very well mistaken, and I, like I said, there are fundamental concepts of what he's trying to sell that I think are wrong that would need to be faced before we could do this very over earnest, like, if you just tried, we could do it.
Similarly, Tim from the internet writes that he believed the Noah's Ark story until he was 45 or 47. His thinking was that for Christianity to be true, Noah's flood had to be true, and so investigating it to find out whether it actually happened mostly led to his deconversion. So
he deconverted because he saw the movie with Russell Crowe, and he was like, "Damn it, this is not possible!
Rock monsters? Are you kidding?"
Well, yeah, and that's I guess that sort of goes to what you're saying, is that when you knock out these underpinnings that people just assume are there, deconversion becomes the other side of that. Deconversion becomes kind of simple.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Casey. Thank you very much, Russell, for being on the show. Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist.
The show is too short.
It is. You can go to our voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. My co-hosts were Casey Dorn and Russell Glasser. My technical assistants were Becky Friedman and Nick Kennedy. Writing was done by Dave Brulette and Becky Friedman. We're actually going to hang out at Doyle's tonight. I'm going to say that because Russell's going to be with us. So see you there in an hour. Talk to you guys next week.